please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide, from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0, the advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate test stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. Welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, the star of the show, the former ECW and WCW World Tag Team Champion, former mind behind the NWO, former booker of WCW 83 Weeks of Dominance. He's the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, my friend. How are you doing?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. I know you've been, it's funny. It's like you've been busier than ever, it feels like lately. You're all over the place. You're going to different countries. I mean, you're all over the place.
Yeah, it's crazy, but I'll take it while it's coming. You know,
you still love the business.
Yeah, I like to get out too. And living on an island can get claustrophobic somewhat.
Do you mind going to different countries and stuff, or you're cool?
No, I love to travel. I love to travel. We used to go to Europe at least 6 weeks a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, today we're going to travel back to 1992 in WCW, but obviously that kind of puts into play of different countries and stuff, because a lot of 1992, you were in the Wing promotion in Japan, right?
Right, right. I was working in Wing. I was working in Southwest. I was working for the Savolis. I was working for ECW, Puerto Rico. I was working for the last few surviving territories.
Wow. And then, of course, Smoky Mountain Wrestling as well when you were in the States.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
It's funny. With WCW, you're like, you're in for a little bit, then you're out. Were you booking at all or helping in 1992? Like, were you doing anything at WCW?
No. No, I was just going in for shots.
Why is that? Like, how come that happened? Like, did Dusty not need like a booking committee? Was this because Watts was there and he kind of took over booking, or what was the reason?
Yeah, there were really a lot of flux then. You know, it was Herd, Dusty, but then when I was going in, Dusty was just about out, and Watts was in, and that was a kind of a turmoil, to say the least. You know what I'm saying?
Did you ever work with Watts?
No.
When you look at what's going on in WCW here, when we're going to focus in on 1992, it does seem like, oh, maybe they write, you know, maybe they wrote the ship or write, you know, how you write the ship or whatever, or however you want to say that phrase. Like, are they turning it around? Are they going in the right direction? Or was Watts somebody that was going to take them backwards, maybe put them in the wrong direction?
Well, I've heard both sides, but I don't think they could have got any worse. I know that Bill had ideas, you know, mats around the ring, you know, jumping off the top rope for disqualification. Bill was a smart guy, but sometimes you can't go back. We've talked about this a lot. You know, everything evolves. Everything evolves.
Yep.
And, you know, I knew what he was trying to do about the off the ropes. You could use it as finish and get heat. But I think that kind of heat had been passe because they had seen everything on the top, off the top rope by that time. You know, shooting stars, moonsaults, the list goes on and on and on. And you couldn't go back to a knee off the top rope, you know, after what they had seen. You couldn't do it. It just didn't make sense to me anyway.
It just seems to me like, wow, you got Pillman and Liger. You know, you got all these other guys there. It's like, oh, yeah, but they can't come off the top rope. Or, you know, you get the cute and there's no mats on the floor anymore, so they don't want you on the outside. It's just weird.
Yeah, and I mean, think about this. In the 50s, the golden age of wrestling and television was in the book Old School. It says, was TV made for wrestling or was wrestling made for TV? They were doing Rocco was doing drop kicks off the top rope. Carpentier was doing his backward flips off the top rope. People were doing splashes off the top rope. So they had been doing it since just about the inception, the first time wrestling was ever seen on TV. I know the first time Rocco was on TV, he was doing it, and that had to be back in 48.
So why do you think did he think like that was going to be good, or was that just an easy booking thing for getting out of certain matches and certain feuds and stuff?
No, I think he actually thought that he was going to go completely against WWF's bookings. You know, top rope meant nothing to them. You know what I mean? I mean, how many times did you see back in the day a clothesline, a guy go over the top or a backdrop over the top? It was just part of the program.
It just seemed to me like this might be a little antiquated, or like I don't know if this is really the way we should be going, because you had some awesome wrestlers there in 92. It's just like some of the finishes were just I don't know, strange.
Well, I love when I hear these pundits talk about they do this way, they should do that way, and everybody has an idea, and rightfully so. But you just don't do a finish. You have to think where you're going. You need to book a when you book a match, you need to book a match. What is the reason why I'm booking it?
Yep.
What do I do for the finish, and where's it going forward? If you have two top guys, you just can't say, we'll have them trade wins, because isn't that what everybody bitched about a few years ago?
Yep.
Yeah, I love this.
50-50.
A few years ago, 50-50 booking, right? They were bitching about it.
Big time, yep.
Roman wins at WrestleMania. They're bitching again. Yet, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Be pissed off because they don't win?
Yes.
Sometimes I think they just don't understand themselves what they're thinking. I think we've gotten to a position in the world today where we just like to bitch about everything.
Pretty much. Or be offended by something. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
yep. So let's go back to 1992. Let's go to Wrestle War 1992, held on May 17th. And, of course, we're in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Jacksonville Memorial Coliseum. The attendance, a little bit over 6,000. The tagline, destroy or be destroyed. One team will stand, one team will fall in a match so brutal it can happen only once a year. Of course, talking about War Games, the pay-per-view buys 105K. So not great there, you know, not absolutely terrible, but not great there as far as some pay-per-view buys here. Surprised with the 105?
Yeah, I am surprised.
War Games, you would think, would draw a little bit better, right?
Not at this time, because there was so much. I mean, I wasn't following it closely because I was working a lot, you know, and traveling. It just had, it was such a, I can't tell you how up in the air it was, because no matter who it was, Dusty or Rick or a committee or Oli or Bill, you still had to deal with Jim Hurt.
Hmm.
You know, and this is a guy, this is the only thing I can say is this is a guy that came from a small Western European town that never saw football, but he had gone to a soccer match once and he thought, oh, it can't be that hard. There's a ball involved in this sport. You know, it was very, very difficult.
So here, we're getting ready for War Games, and a big main event is going to be the Dangerous Alliance versus Sting's Squadron. We'll get into it later, but an awesome match and really, really good stuff there from War Games. But leading into it, Dangerous Alliance, which is, of course, led by Paulie Dangerously, a.k.a. Paul Heyman, they injure Sting and they injure his ribs. So they're really kind of preparing you for, hey, can Sting Squadrons win when Sting isn't at 100%? You know, good little build up here. And obviously, Dangerous Alliance, I mean, this is an awesome, awesome group. Besides Heyman, who's the leader, Paulie Dangerously, you've got Arn Anderson, Rick Rude, Bobby Eaton, Larry Zbysko, and Steve Austin. So, I mean, this Dangerous Alliance is loaded. Wow. Loaded group.
Wow. That's a tremendous group. Tremendous group.
Throw in there Heyman and Medusa as the, you know, as your managers, if you will, and your valet. Pretty loaded.
Yes. Pretty loaded is right. That's excellent.
Paul's got himself in a nice little spot here, right, with the Dangerous Alliance. He's basically like the lead heel here.
Yeah, Paul's a very smart guy. Paul's a very smart guy. I mean, I can see a lot of Paul's ideas shine through with the, you know, with the boys, the bloodline, for sure.
Where do you put Paul in the pantheon of, like, great managers and talkers?
You know, in today's day, I think he's still working, Paul. Jimmy's very smart, Cornette too, but Paul has put together, and I'm assuming it's Paul, but Paul also is smart enough that he accepts ideas. He brings in people that have very good knowledge, and Paul can find out from a guy after three or four times talking to him if he has creativity that he just doesn't see it for himself. He sees it how the whole package has to work. It's like baking a fabulous dinner. The potatoes have to complement the asparagus has to complement the salad dressing has to complement it. The wine has to complement the whole thing. Paul's very, very smart.
So the announcers are Jesse the Body Ventura and Jim Ross. We've kind of briefly talked about this before. interesting that Jim Ross has even said that those two didn't really mesh well together. And he blames himself because he said he wasn't like opening himself like he would when he works with Dusty and, you know, all the other, you know, all the other millions of guys that he worked with, Gordon Solie, Tony Schiavone, Michael Hayes, the list goes on, Terry Funk. I mean, the list goes on and on of awesome guys that he's worked with. Jerry Lawler, of course, maybe the most famous one that he's been paired with as far as being a great team. But he even said, like, for some reason, I guess he saw Jesse's contract and maybe he was a little jealous, but he was saying that he didn't really open himself up to Jesse, and that's why he felt that they didn't really mesh well together as a announced team, even though you would think they would.
Well, you know, a guy that tells the truth like that, I mean, compliments the Jim. And the other thing is, you know, Jim turned out to be, you know, he's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yes.
But you know, he knew how good he was. I don't know the difference in pay scale, but I'm going to say it was quite a bit for him to come out and say what that he didn't work as well, because Jim could work with Van Quillager's dummy.
Yeah, yep.
So I think maybe the money, and then there might have been a little bit of a job scare there, you know. And I don't know what Watts and him have been big buddies back in the day, but who knows what Watts' attitude was back then. I certainly don't.
So the thing is with Jesse, he's still Jesse the Body, so he's hopefully going to bring in, you know, some more eyeballs to WCW, and, you know, he's got to be able to work with the announcer. And I feel like when he's working with Schiavone, those two worked awesome together for whatever reason. So it's just interesting that Jim Ross and him couldn't mesh, when you would think, okay, you got the best guy from WWF with Ventura and the best guy from WCW. Let's put them together. Hopefully they can mesh. And they couldn't. But I guess that's just, you know, that's just the way the business goes sometimes. Not always going to be great chemistry.
Yeah, especially, you know, you can write a match down, two guys that have worked thousand times together, stolen the show, and that night it doesn't work for some reason. So that's the nice thing about wrestling. It's always a challenge.
So we'll start off with the dark match. Diamond Dallas Page and Thomas Rich, who's obviously the heel version of Tommy Rich, defeats Bob Cook, the legendary Bob Cook, and Firebreaker Chip in about 8 minutes. That's just you know, standard dark match, nothing crazy here, but I know you love the Cooker.
Yes, I love Bob Cook. Bob Cook is, I don't think of Bob Cook as enhancement talent. Bob is a very good professional wrestler. He has settled into that position because of his mindset, I think. I think if Bob pushed himself, Bob could have, not that he didn't do a lot in the wrestling business, but I think Bob could have been a legitimate star. He was a very good heel.
Yes. I always thought that he had one of the greatest punches of all time.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And I think he saw, you know, there was a lot of guys that had great punches in Florida. Dickie Murdoch. You know, Steve Kern. I'd hate to put myself over, but I did throw a pretty good punch. I could hit you
across
the ropes and hit you right in the jaw and not touch you. But you learned, there was a lot of, Dusty was very good too. I mean, and there was a host of others. Tony Charles. Besides that flipper, that English flipper, he could throw a great punch. Now, so there was a lot of guys, and Bob threw it as well as just about anybody in the business.
When that happens, like a guy like that, do you want to give him a little push? Like,
yeah.
You know, he's got the good mechanics, got the awesome punch. Do you want to give him a push?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. I was booking Knoxville for Mulligan and Flair. And I had a guy that, do you remember he was in WCW for a while and drew a little money? The Mongol?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You remember him?
Yep.
Well, he was working in Japan, and he was also working in Europe, but he had a point where he had 6 weeks off. But after that, I wasn't going to be able to get him again. Well, there was a guy in Knoxville, and he was they had used him as a job talent enhancement. His name was Ricky Connors. Ricky Connors used to go up to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville and beat the whole Knoxville wrestling team. Along with Kevin Nash, he had sparred with John Tate, who was the world heavyweight champion at one time. John Tate lost with 12 seconds left to go in the 15th round. Well, he was winning on every card. So I thought I used him on TV, and I kept him over on Saturday. And he had this thing where he came off like with a Polish hammer off the top rope. So I brought him into TV every week, and then I would use him in a secondary town on a Saturday night, like Marysville. And he was just glad to be working. But he come off the top rope and nail a guy and then just beat him to death and pin him. So when it was time for him to leave, I had the week he was ready to go, I had him go through the finish, comes off the top, and it looked like Ricky knocked him out because Ricky could throw an incredible working punch.
Right.
We made it a big deal that Ricky broke his jaw, and the TV people also got together with the newspaper and wrote a story about Ricky going up and beating all the guys at the University of Tennessee, and that he sparred with John Tate. And Ricky had his own fan club for a while, so I could give Ricky a little push. And when I did beat him then, it meant something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That name sounds so familiar with Rick, because I think he trained a bunch of guys in Knoxville that area. Yeah.
I think he's been dead for 40 years, but doesn't know it.
So let's start the card. The first match, the Fabulous Freebirds, Michael Hayes and Jimmy Jam Garvin, defeated Terry Taylor and Greg Valentine. This was for the WCW United States Tag Team Championship. Did you like having two tag belts?
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not a big fan of it. They were trying to make themselves look bigger than they were. You know what I mean? You were just talking about punching. I don't think I've ever seen a better jab than Michael P.S. Hayes' jab.
Yeah. Yep. Looks like a pro boxer out there doing
that. Yeah.
So the Freebirds are the new United States champions, but to me, it's like, okay, I know the tag division is pretty good there. I mean, you got Steiners there, you got a bunch of guys from New Japan. I mean, you got a bunch of good teams at WCW at this point. It's just like, do you really need two tag belts? I know they've done that for years, but I don't know. I just sometimes feel like too many titles makes the one title seem lesser than, and then it doesn't give as much importance to the bigger title either.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So the Birds are the new U.S. champions. Then next up, we've got Johnny B. Badd. He is going to wrestle Tracy Smothers and get the victory in just about 7 minutes here. Badd is kind of a rookie, almost, you could say, at this point. I mean, very, very young in the game at this point. Okay match. Nothing great, nothing really too much to write home about here. But a very young Johnny B. Badd basically getting a win over somewhat of a veteran in Tracy Smothers, trying to give him a little bit of a push. I've talked to Mark Merrow about the Johnny B. Badd character. It was all dusty.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of that.
Do you think that keeps him back through that gimmick?
Well, I'm going to answer very simply this way. Could they get away with that today?
I don't know. I guess you could say it's like a Little Richard ripoff, but I don't know some of that stuff.
Remember Tropical Thunder?
Yeah.
You think they could do that today?
No.
Okay, but that's what they were implying.
Right. Yeah, he's a white guy. Yeah. Yep. It's just interesting that Dusty, like, to me, it's like, okay, is that gimmick a little bit of a rib? But I was talking to Mero, it is not a rib at all. Dusty loved it. He thought it was like, this guy's so charismatic. You know, he's pretty as a picture. You know what I mean?
And Dusty had no malice at all. He loved, he loves gospel music. He loved Johnny B. Bad. He put that on him. He loved Chuck Berry. He loved, you know, there was no racist coming from Dusty's side at all. But I don't think you could do it today. And I think that held him back from being a serious, where people thought he was a badass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It confused the people, I believe.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, shit, this guy's a Golden Glove winner. If you watch him punch, you're just like, okay, this guy can really, you know, he could really knock you out with a punch. Like, who is this guy? And it's like, oh, he's shooting off the little Johnny B. Bad blaster with the confetti and prancing around and stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't know if this guy's that tough.
And that wasn't Dusty's fault either. They made Dusty, you know, they want to be kids-friendly and sell stuff, merchandise, and they saddled Dusty with that.
So then we have an interesting match. Scotty Flamingo, a.k.a. Raven, defeats Marcus Alexander Bagwell in just about 7 minutes and 15 seconds. Do you like Scotty Flamingo? That gimmick, that character?
No.
Funny looking back, it doesn't fit him at all.
No, it doesn't fit him at all. He's Raven. He's Raven. A very deep, intellectual, psychotic. That's what I like about him.
I saw a video online. I got to see if I can find it. It's so funny. It hits him in Portland. He's got bringing these kids into the ring, and he's doing this weird dance to like rap music. I was like, what the hell is this? And it, you know, it's like, this is Raven dancing like this? What the hell?
Yeah.
Very weird. I know even Johnny Polo, when he was Johnny Polo, which is basically Scotty Flamingo, but in the WWF, that didn't work either. I didn't think that was like legit either. That just felt like a weird gimmick.
Yeah. The first time I ever saw him, I was out of Florida and they flew me in for a big show in the Bahamas and he was wrestling it. You know, he had under tights on, but the tights he wore to the ring were boxer underwear, you know?
Yeah, yep.
I didn't get that.
So Scotty Flamingo gets a big win here over Bagwell, who was kind of, you know, like, I wouldn't say the golden boy, but they always kind of protected him. They always liked him. They said he was Sting's protege. I mean, they always kind of protected Bagwell. So it's a big win here for Scotty Flamingo.
Yeah, and you know, two guys on the way up, and I'm sure it didn't hurt either one of them.
He does cheat, though. He does roll him up and grab the tights. So, I mean, I guess that's an out there for Bagwell, right?
Yeah.
Then we go to the back, and Junkyard Dog has been taken out. Who has he been taken out by? Cactus Jack and Abdullah the Butcher. Do you like that pairing together, Jack and Abs?
Yes, very much so.
Man, those two go together, huh?
Yeah, and those then you know, at the end of dinner, they're going to fight one another. You know what I mean? So it's perfect. Keep them together as long as you can before they draw money with one another. It's a perfect deal.
Then you throw Mr. Hughes in the mix, and he's a part of the beatdown as well. But Hughes and Cactus Jack were supposed to fight JYD and Ron Simmons on the card, but because of the JYD injury, don't know if legit or what was going on, but he was taken out. That means it's Ron Simmons versus Mr. Hughes one-on-one with Cactus Jack in the corner, but it doesn't matter. Ron Simmons gets the victory just in about 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Do you like that? JYD gets taken out in the back, so the odds are against Simmons, and Simmons ends up picking up the win?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Ron Simmons, I told you, I wanted to make him the world champion when I got the book there. And when I was on the committee and Ole was the booker, and he said, absolutely not, that's crazy, he won't draw a dime. So I'm glad Ron became the first African-American to win that belt.
Were you surprised it happened in the Watts era of Simmons winning the belt?
No, because Watts featured black wrestlers. You know, Tony Atlas would come down there quite a bit. He had Rocky Johnson there. He had Junkyard Dog there, and he had Butch Reed. And he had Tiger Conway Jr. and Sweet Brown Sugar. He used Ernie Ladd. He used black wrestlers without seeing the color of their skin. He did a great job. He saw them as human beings, which back then a lot of, it was ran by old white men, the wrestling business.
So the next match up is Todd Champion versus the Super Invader with Harley Race. Interesting that Firebreaker Chip was on the dark match, kind of splitting away from Todd Champion, who was his former tag partner and former WWS Tag Team Champions together. They were known as WWE Special Forces. So did you see anything, if you remember Todd Champion, and I mean, yes. Looks like $1 million. Did you see anything in him?
I saw something in both those guys.
With the Super Invader, this is an interesting gimmick. It's Hercules with a red, well, sometimes the color would change, but basically for this show, with a red hood on his head, and he's managed by Harley Race. I don't know why, if you had Hercules, why you would feel the need to put the hood over his head. Wouldn't you want to say, maybe he couldn't have the name, but you could still call him Super Invader or some other name, and just because you'd want to see his face, no? I mean, he's been on WWF TV for 5 years, 6 years.
I would think so. I would think so, absolutely.
Once had a little mini feud with Hogan, had a big feud with $1 Million Man, he had a big feud with Ultimate Warrior. I mean, you would think you'd have the TV equity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Never understood the gimmick under the hood. I know he's badged by Harley Race, too, so they're kind of giving him a push, and he just, he keeps on getting win after win, but it's weird that he's under the mask.
Yeah.
And then it would just kind of fade away and we wouldn't hear from him again. It was just very, I know, very, very strange. But the Super Invader does defeat Todd Champion in about 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Again, not a great match here. Just, I don't know, it didn't seem right. Maybe he didn't like working in the hood. I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
Did you ever see his exit from the WWF?
No. What happened?
So he wrestled Sid in a match in MSG, and he's got to take a powerbomb. And like basically lose, and then basically you're done. He takes the powerbomb from Sid kind of very delicately. He doesn't kill him with it. He kind of puts him down like this. Literally 1, 2, 3. He pops right back up, looks at Sid, looks at the ref, and just walks out. No sell whatsoever. So Hercules just no sells Sid, and that's it. He leaves WWF and doesn't come back. So obviously he knew he was on the way out. He's like, screw this. I'll lose, but I'm not putting this guy over.
Yeah. He was a very, another Tampa boy that you don't hear a lot about. He was very, very good.
Man, he had one of the best bodies ever in wrestling. Yep. If you look at him, he just looked like, this guy is going to kill somebody. He can kick your ass. Also, another guy with an awesome punch from Florida.
Yep.
What do they teach you guys down there? Had a bunch?
Well, they had a lot of good guys come through. Dickie Merrick spent a lot of time there, and I think Dickie threw one of the greatest punches of all times.
Yep, definitely.
Yep.
Then the next matchup, probably your favorite gimmick of all time, Big Josh defeats Ricky Morton, a.k.a. Richard Morton, who's playing a heel. He beats him in about 7 minutes and 30 seconds here. Not a great match. Not bad, though. Just okay. But Big Josh is the lumberjack gimmick. Yeah. Matt Bourne. Did you like that gimmick?
Hated it. Matt was an excellent performer. Hated it.
Where did that come from?
That was heard. They wanted those young circus performers, It was crazy. It was crazy, to say the least.
And I'm not sure if it was a rib or not, but Jesse Ventura would always say about Big Josh, he had bad hygiene. So was that something about Matt Bourne?
No, I think he was They were at Portland together.
He's just messing with them?
Yeah, yeah. They were good friends.
Did you like Richard Morton, him as the heel, Rick, instead of Ricky?
No, no. I can't say that I didn't like Ricky's work. He's one of the greatest workers of all times, but he's the one of the greatest baby faces, for sure, of all times. You know?
The Richard Morton, it just didn't work. I don't know. Like, I don't know what they were going for. It just didn't work. Like, Thomas Rich, Richard Morton, Terrence Taylor, you know, trying to give all those guys, like, you know, serious heel names. Just corny. It didn't work.
Yeah. Exactly.
So all the matches so far have been okay. Really, the first six matches have been okay in the pay-per-view, but this is finally where they start to really pick it up and put some good matches. So in the next match for the WCW Light Heavyweight Championship, Flying Brian Pillman defeat the Z-Man, Tom Zink. The match goes about 15 minutes and 30 seconds. First match that actually got some time here. Very good. I mean, Pillman's awesome, and Z-Man shows us something here.
Yeah, I'm sure there was very good. They both were great workers.
Did you like Pillman more so as like his true self as the loose cannon, or do you like him doing Flying Brian and, you know, kind of doing the, you know, the Bengals colors?
No, I liked the crazy Flying Brian. You know, the loose cannon. He was fabulous.
He had to, like, grow into himself, right? And kind of learn that character, learn himself.
Yep.
What did you think about Zink? Was he, like, a nutty guy?
No, but he was standoffish, you know. And then he didn't get along with Ricky Martel, who's one of the nicest guys I ever met in my life. So I don't know what the problem was there, but Ricky is a real sweetheart of a guy. So I never understood Zink.
I've always heard from different wrestlers, won't say any names or anything, but I've always heard, like, I didn't really like get along with Z-Man. I didn't really get along with Z-Man. Was that like a known thing that he was just not the kind of friendly guy? Like, he's kind of not locker room guy, I guess?
Yeah, he had always, and he did guys. He did guys in a different way.
Yeah. Was he just like not like happy where he was? Did he not like the business, or was he just that type of guy?
I mean, I really can't tell you that. He just didn't, you know, just seemed like he wasn't a happy person.
Is that why he didn't go further in the business, or do you think talent wasn't quite there? What did you think?
I mean, the look was there. The talent was there. It had to be something else, I think.
So they keep promoting Beach Blast, which is obviously their next big pay-per-view coming up. They keep saying Bodacious Babes and Beachin'. So they're definitely trying to, I don't know, like they're trying to clasp on to, like a younger audience or something. Like they keep trying to touch on that. It just seems like they're missing. You know what I mean? Like eventually a few years earlier, there was like the Dynamic Dudes. Like they're always missing on like pop culture stuff.
They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know if they wanted to be serious. They didn't know if they wanted to be a cartoon. They didn't know if they wanted to sell skateboards or sell blood. They just had no idea what they wanted to do.
Beach Blast is a cool name, but of course it's the precursor to the better name, Bash of the Beach. But like the way they're promoting it was like very 80s style, like very behind the times.
Yeah.
So then the WCW Tag Team Championship match is up next. The Steiner Brothers, Rick and Scott, defeated Azuka and Tatsumi Fujinami in a match to determine the number one contenders for the IWGP Tag Team Championship, which was held by Vader and Bam Bam Bigelow. So the Steiners will go on a little bit later on and defeat them, not on WCW, of course, in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but the Steiners would go on and defeat them in an awesome match. But here, this is a really good match and just shows you the Steiners can really work with the Japanese guys. Fujinami's awesome, and Azuka is pretty good too here, but he's a young gun at this point. Some pretty good spots here in this match from the Steiner brothers as well. But as you would expect, the Steiner brothers are, you know, are going to have an awesome match against a Japanese team from New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. And I think it was good to have that kind of match on the card.
if you look at it, like whether it's Hase, Sasaki, Chono, Muda, Fujinami, Iizuka, Steiner Brothers can work with anybody. I mean, they were just unbelievable, yeah. Especially with those guys. They just love that style.
Yeah, but JP, I think you knew who they are, right? You knew who they are.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
90% of the casual fans don't have any idea who the Japanese guys are.
Is that a bad thing?
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah. Like, can they watch them and say, oh, now I appreciate this guy, or do they need to go in and know who the guy is?
They can appreciate them, but don't you think that you could appreciate someone more if they gave them a backstory and showed it? We didn't do a good job by promoting the guys, and they were terrific wrestlers. So if you were a casual fan and saw these guys on and something else was on, you may turn the channel. That we didn't present them the way they should have been presented. We should have saw their struggles, how the culture they lived in, how hard they trained at the dojo, background of the Olympic wrestlers that they had coming out of there. You know what I mean? I just think we could have really done a better job where people would say, oh, you see that kid wrestling, Rob Steiner, he'll hold his own wrestling because he was an alternate on the 1980 Olympic team. I mean, I just think that we didn't do a good job.
When you look at today's wrestling, a lot of people were complaining about Tony Khan with the same thing. They brought in an awesome wrestler from AAA called Vikingo. And they didn't build him up at all. And I know people online went nuts when he said it was a dream match. And everyone was saying, well, you didn't build him up. How is it a dream match? We don't know who this guy is. Like, it got pretty heated online. So, I mean, it's been going on forever, though, in wrestling, for sure. WCW used to do it, like you said, all the time.
Well, I hope I did make those mistakes a lot. I used to try to build the guy up and do some vignettes until they squawked about pay and expense, which was stupid. You know what I mean? You're going to have people going to be more vested in a guy if they knew all about him, but then when I started to do him, they got all upset, and it was, couldn't do it with those guys, but you could do it with any member. No disrespect. They deserved it, the NWO. You know what I mean?
Yep. So now we have the final match, the main event of the evening, Sting Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance. Dangerous Alliance, of course, was Ravishing Rick Rude, Stunning Steve Austin, The Cruncher, Larry Zbysko, The Enforcer Arn Anderson, and Beautiful Bobby Eaton with Paulie Dangerously and Medusa. Sting Squadron was the WCW World Heavyweight Champion Sting, Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and Nikita Koloff. So, I mean, that was a loaded team as well. The whole thing is submit or surrender. We're in the match beyond. Who is going to win? All five guys from both teams, meaning 10 guys, have to be in the double ring, which it was, of course, the double cage, which is awesome, which is the, you know, the best way to do it. I know WWE does it or has done it with the two, but before they've done it with only one ring. You got to have the two rings. That's key. AEW does it with two rings. Obviously, they got it from WCW, but this has widely been considered the greatest War Games match of all time. The whole thing is Sting's injury. That was a tease. And could Sting trust Nikita Koloff, who's a known heel and a known not guy to trust as far as Sting is concerned? Cool spots in the match involving Medusa going to the top of the cage to try to get Heyman's phone in there to cheat. Sting goes on top of the cage to go get her. I mean, really cool spot there. Close to the finish of the match, they actually swing the guy into the turnbuckle so hard, the turnbuckle comes loose and is able to physically come off. So the whole turnbuckle is off, including the rope. So, you know, like the metal spike is coming out of the actual post. Very, very cool spot. Never saw that before. I mean, they've done it since, obviously, but never saw that before that. There's a lot of blood in the match. I mean, it's very, 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 very well done. The finish comes when Zbysko tries to take that metal pipe from the exposed turnbuckle from the ropes and tries to hit Sting. You know, he moves and hits Bobby Eaton instead, and Bobby Eaton ends up tapping out. So it's like, it's not really Eaton's fault. They were kind of blaming Zbysko for hitting Eaton, but Sting Squadron gets the win via submission. But awesome, awesome match. The match goes about 23 minutes and 30 seconds. Meltzer gave it 5 stars. I would give it, if I'm doing stars, I would give 5 stars. Well, might be the best War Games match ever.
Well, that's saying something, so that's great. That's great. The good finish. I like the finish. And out for the heels. Yep. Cool.
Because it kind of keeps them strong, but then it's also like, oh, they tapped out. They lost, so Sting's team looks good. But they definitely kind of gave them an out. Like, oh, Zbyszko, you screwed up. How did you screw that up? And, you know, we had them. So it was very, very, very good stuff there, and a great win, obviously, for Sting and Sting's squadron. But to me, it's like, wow, like those 10 guys, that's 10, like, legit huge name main event stars there for WCW.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Do you like a lot of blood in your War Games?
Well, that's what it's built for. But I'm getting to a point where sometimes it's been overdone. You know what I mean? I think if you're going to have blood in War Games, you shouldn't have blood for months on TV.
Do you think by having so many good guys in the main event, it hurts the undercard?
No. Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because when you go and see all these guys on top, you're saying to yourself, that's where I want to be. I'm going to bust my ass tonight because I want to be in that category with those guys. That's why I think, that most people see it that way. Hopefully they do anyway.
Do you think it makes the pay-per-view like a little lackluster as far as star power for the rest of the card outside of the main event?
That's up to whoever's booking it to develop star power and to develop it as quick as they possibly can and give storylines so they're involved with people. And don't try to change Tommy Rich and to Thomas Rich and Ricky Morton to Richard Morton. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You can't do that kind of stuff.
Like, Terrence Taylor. Yeah. Just corny stuff. Before the pay-per-view ends, we hear a little bit from Bischoff, a little bit from Schiavone, who are like the B-Squad announcers there. And then we go back to the A-Team with Ross and Ventura, who said, you know, great night of action. We saw the Dangerous Alliance, some, you know, a little bit of fighting, infighting between them. And we'll be back for the next pay-per-view in June, which is Beach Blast 1992. So what do you think about this pay-per-view? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle?
With that, I didn't see it, but what you said with that main event, I got to give it a thumbs up.
That's the one thing. The undercard was a little lacking until Pillman's Inc. That was good. Then the Steiner Brothers match was good. And the main event was, I mean, one of the best War Games match, one of the best matches I've seen. I mean, I just love it. I love going back and watching that match. It's just awesome. So I'd give it 2 thumbs up as well. Good stuff from WCW here.
Yeah, good for them.
The blood was pretty cool because it didn't seem like that was something that they were for at that time. I know they would do it, obviously, on pay-per-view, but it didn't seem like the TV show had a lot of blood usually.
Yeah. At this period, they didn't know what they really wanted and where they wanted to go.
So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at 2-Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Of course, you can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Kevin, what else you got going on?
I'll be in Ottawa Saturday, and the following week I'll be in Ryan Gold, Georgia. After that, I'll be back in South Florida for the relaunch of Championship Wrestling from Florida. So any friends want to come and see me and talk about the podcast? Love to hear from you.
All right. Awesome stuff. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. So join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Sullivan20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in the Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxers as free gifts to give to you to keep all your goodies stored nice and comfortably to go along with the Performance Package 4.0. Inside that Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Sullivan20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Sullivan20. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved.